Today on the Plotopsy podcast, I'll be talking about Stuart Gordon's classic H.P. Lovecraft adaptation, Reanimator.
Herbert West is at the top of his class in medical school.
How can you teach such drivel? These people are here to learn and you're closing their minds before they even have a chance.
What are He's brilliant, but a little weird.
I've broken the 6 to 12 minute barrier. I've conquered brain death.
His experiments have always been unorthodox.
It was dead.
But lately, they're getting out of hand. And he's just made a discovery that could wake up the dead.
Herbert West has affected reanimation in dead animal tissue.
What are you thinking? How do you feel? You?
15 cc's of reagent being administered.
Once you wake up the dead, you've got a real mess on your hands.
Herbert, you're insane. Now what happened?
I had to kill him.
He's dead? Not anymore.
Herbert West brought a lot of dead people back to life, and not one of them showed any appreciation. H.P. Lovecraft's classic tale of horror, Reanimator.
Mr. West.
You'll never get credit for my discovery. Who's going to believe a talking head? Get a job in a sideshow.
It will scare you to pieces.
Reanimator marked the first film directing work for Stuart Gordon, and was additionally the first writing collaboration for Stuart Gordon and his longtime writing partner, Dennis Paoli. A third writing partner was present in William Norris, who never worked on any other films. Before Reanimator, Stuart Gordon was working for the Organic Theater Company in Chicago. He noticed that many of his actors were doing movies, and decided he wanted to try his hand at one as well. He decided to go with the horror genre because of the low budget required, and because of the generally high profitability of genre movies. The source material, Herbert West Reanimator by H.P. Lovecraft, was published in parts over multiple issues of Weird Tales magazine. It was long out of print when Stuart Gordon got the idea of doing a movie, meaning that in order to read it, he had to request access to an original copy in the Chicago Public Library. The success of the Reanimator movie essentially reanimated the story from obscurity and renewed popular interest in Lovecraft's works in general. The screenplay of the Reanimator film differs greatly from the content of the original story, Herbert West Reanimator. Ultimately, the story only provided the characters and some details for the screenplay, which significantly altered the plot to make it more cinematic. Die-hard fans of H.P. Lovecraft are somewhat split over Stuart Gordon's adaptations of his works, which would later include Castle Freak, From Beyond, Dreams in the Witch House, and Dagon, in addition to Reanimator. As with any fan base, many are purists and are thoroughly resistant to alterations made for the screen. That said, most admit that Lovecraft's style requires significant changes to make his stories filmable at all, which has led some to be more apologetic for Gordon's adaptations. Brian Utena and Bob Greenberg both acted as producers on The Reanimator, and would go on to collaborate extensively with Stuart Gordon on future projects. Brian Utena specifically even helmed two sequels to Reanimator, Bride of Reanimator in 1989 and Beyond Reanimator in 2003. The cinematography on Reanimator was provided by Mac Ahlberg, who would go on to frequently collaborate with Stuart Gordon on films like Dolls, Robot Jocks, and The Wonderful Ice Cream Suit. A handful of shots were completed by Robert Ebinger, who was dismissed after only a week of shooting on the behest of Charles Band, whose Empire Pictures was backing the movie. Speaking of Charles Band, the score for Reanimator, which drew significant influence from the score of Psycho, was composed by his brother, Richard Band, who would go on to provide music for a number of other Stuart Gordon features. The effects on Reanimator were all done as simply as possible to keep the budget low, meaning that no optical special effects were used. There are a number of shots that appear to be done with special effects, but were actually executed with the creative use of lighting, camera angles, and practical effects. It has been estimated that the production used 30 gallons of fake blood in total, which was used creatively in tandem with raw meat to do most of the gore in the film. Stuart Gordon has a fantastic quote about the use of cheap effects, taken from the Reanimator DVD commentary. "The audience will accept very simple special effects if they like the story and are involved." The cast of Reanimator features a handful of actors who would return to work with Stuart Gordon again on future pictures. Of course, Jeffrey Combs leads the way as Herbert West, who would become one of the most consistent figures in Stuart Gordon's entire career. Barbara Crampton later popped up in From Beyond and Castle Freak, and Robert Sampson appeared in 1989's Robot Jocks. Bruce Abbott returned for the first sequel to the film, but never reunited with Stuart Gordon on any of his later movies. David Gale would unfortunately die only a few years after Reanimator, though he also appeared in Usna's sequel, Bride of Reanimator. A number of notable actors appear in the background of Reanimator, such as Stuart Gordon's wife, Carolyn Purdy Gordon, as an ER doctor. The first reanimated corpse is played by a man named Peter Kent, who is best known as a frequent stunt double and stand-in for Arnold Schwarzenegger in films like The Terminator, Total Recall, The Running Man, Predator, Last Action Hero, and Jingle All the Way. Also in the background is Ian Patrick Williams, a member of the Organic Theater in Chicago with Gordon at the time, who would later appear in the Stuart Gordon films Dolls and Robot Jocks. Notably, the creative team behind Reanimator decided to release the movie unrated after getting an NC-17 from the Motion Picture Association of America rating board. Amazingly, the movie still managed to get advertised widely and booked in theaters, a major accomplishment for a film without a stamp of approval from the MPAA, and something that is unlikely to happen nowadays. The infamously radiant reanimation fluid used in the film was made up of a chemical mixture used for certain kinds of road flares, and was apparently highly toxic. Given the short lifespan of its luminosity, it had to be frequently replaced in order to maintain a consistent glow from shot to shot. All of the dead bodies featured in Reanimator were meticulously made up based on professional input from forensic pathologists in the Chicago area. Specifically, the coloration of the makeup was done using direct comparisons to actual autopsy photos of corpses. The vivid coloration on the bodies is meant to imitate the actual coloration effects that occur after death. The humor in Reanimator was something that wasn't initially planned, but has wound up being a defining aspect of the film. Stuart Gordon has said that it was added in part due to his experiences working with forensic pathologists while doing research for the film, noting that they had some of the darkest senses of humor of any people he had ever met. In many ways, this integration of humor into horror influenced what would eventually define Stuart Gordon's style. Here is another relevant quote from the director about what he learned about humor and horror from making Reanimator. "Laughter is the antidote for fear. You can build tension and then relieve it with laughter, but if you do both at the same time, they cancel each other out." Reanimator interestingly used many of the same locations and crew as The Terminator. The movie was eventually screened for Arnold Schwarzenegger himself on the recommendation of his body double, who plays the first revived corpse in the movie. Arnold apparently loved it, enough so that he later recommended Stuart Gordon for the directing job on Fortress. The inclusion of the laser drill in Reanimator was a bit of science fiction when the movie was made, but today laser surgery is standard practice in medicine in general, and specifically in autopsies, just as it is depicted in the film. The most infamous scene in Reanimator is undoubtedly the decapitated head attempting to rape Barbara Crampton. It is perhaps the most uncomfortable thing Stuart Gordon has ever filmed. The original actress cast for Barbara Crampton's role actually dropped out of the film specifically due to the inclusion of this scene, and it caused David Gale's wife to walk out of an early screening of the movie in shock. Personally, I think that one of the most fantastic aspects of Reanimator is the ending, in which Bruce Abbott's character revives Barbara Crampton over a black screen, with only the reanimating agent in a syringe visible. It then closes on an iconic scream from Crampton. Reanimator is now regarded as a classic of the horror genre, and has influenced many other films since its release. On top of the eventual sequels, Reanimator has also inspired a musical adaptation, which was apparently pretty highly acclaimed. Overall, Reanimator is more than deserving of the reputation that it has garnered. The effects are fantastic, the performances are great, and it has set the tone for the careers of both Stuart Gordon and star Jeffrey Combs. It is a must-watch for horror movie fans, B-movie aficionados, and arguably film buffs in general. For fans of the genre, this is a thoroughly enjoyable movie. However, I think it is hit or miss for people not already ingratiated into the genre. Particularly, the infamous head sequence is likely to turn a subset of people off who might otherwise enjoy the movie. As effective as the scene is at disturbing the audience and drawing a reaction, that has to be weighed against the potential for the effect to turn people away. You want an audience to cringe and turn their head, but you don't want them to go so far as to go out the door. That's all for today's Plotopsy podcast here at the Misanthropy Movie Blog. For a full archive of reviews and podcast episodes, check out misanthropy.com, like Misanthropy Movie Blog on Facebook, and follow @Misanthropy on Twitter. Until next time.